Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. We're going to be talking about fear today. Do you fear your government? We're also going to be talking about 24 signs that is turning our proud cities into poverty-stricken hellholes. So we're going to want your opinions throughout the program today. You can give us a call at 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. Or you can email us at questions@dgscoins.com. Questions@dgscoins.com. But first, let's get to the markets today. And it was good to see gold up $8 today. $8.40 currently at $14.72. Silver's up 35 cents at $24.49. Platinum is up $30 at $15.14. And palladium is up 17 at $7.01. So the white metals took on a terror today. And the USDX today not looking so good. Down 0.31 at $82.17. Crude oil popping right back up to where the higher levels, 94.22, up 122. And the paper markets today, let's see, didn't have a chance to follow them today. They're off their highs for the day, though. You have the Dow up 106 points at 14.818. NASDAQ was up 27 at 33.07. And you had the S&P close at another record high, and of course it was all due to the tech shares. That was closing up 11 at 1593.60. The 10-year, 1.67% on the 10-year yield. And so gold was looking good due to the weaker dollar today. And an update on the Silver Eagles today. Silver Eagles can be available. I think the premium is still awfully high. Even my wholesaler told me, he says, I don't like offering Silver Eagles. He says, it's just not really fair. He says, it's not fair to the buyer. He says, but there's dealers out there who don't care. And I suggest I understand that. He says, but if you want them, he says, you can buy them. And you're looking at over a almost a $6 premium over spot. Almost a $6 premium over spot. And so I think if you're looking to buy less than 500 of them, you might want to wait another, you know, few days to see if those premiums don't come down a little bit more, or even next week if you're looking for boxes of 500. We'll lock them in for you if you want to on our existing clients. And give us a call. We do have them available. We have Morgans that are available for immediate delivery. And I think with what you're paying on a Silver Eagle versus the premium on the Morgans, I'd be buying the Morgans all day long. So you want to buy value, and by paying such a high premium on Silver Eagles, it doesn't really help you out because the price dropped in silver. You know, you're kind of defeating the whole purpose. But give us a call, 1-800-375-4188, and we're also going to extend the Friday special, Mint State 61, $20 Liberties, even though gold is up significantly today at $1860 for those Mint State 61. $20 Liberties. And I'd like to say good afternoon, Alfred Addisk.
How you doing, Melody?
Just fine.
I'm calling in on the phone, of course. As you know, the power's been shut off here in Richland, Oregon, and I called the Idaho Power Company, and they said, yeah, they know the power's off for about 542 customers in Richland, another little town 10 miles away called Halfway. And they say they don't know why, and they don't know when it's going to be fixed. But they have people out searching the lines to see where something apparently fell down, something shorted out, I don't know. So in any case, I have no access to computers, and I have no access. Usually do this program on Skype rather than conventional telephone. But today I am going to be doing on a conventional telephone, and Melody's going to have to guide me. I'm going to have to bring up little stories, and I'm going to have to sit here and try to participate and sound intelligent and rest, that sort of thing, which without a computer, I don't know if I can do that or not.
Well, I think we'll be just fine now. Yes, folks, if you'd like to give us a call in today, you can do so at 800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. And today, Al, we saw, both of us saw an article about Americans fear government more than terror. And there was a pair of recent polls for the first time since 9/11 that Americans are more fearful of their government and how they abuse their constitutional liberties than failing to keep its citizens safe. And so in the wake of the April 15 Boston bombing, that poll suggests Americans are hesitant to give up any further freedoms in exchange for increased security. And this was a Fox News survey, Al. And it was a random national sample of, you know, 619 registered votings. And it was done after the day of the bombing in Boston. And those that interviewed had responded very differently than from 9/11. And this is the first time, as I mentioned, it was the first time since May of 2001 that more Americans answered no to the question, would you be willing to give up some of your personal freedom in order to reduce the threat of terrorism. 45% answered no to the question, compared to 43% answering yes. And what's interesting in 9/11, the balance was similar, but following the terrorist attacks, 71% agreed to sacrifice personal freedoms to reduce.
After
9/11.
I understand. I think this is great news. I think this is, I think it's wonderful news. On the one hand, the government is always complaining about, oh my gosh, we've got to protect you from terrorists. And the implication of this survey, first off, is that increasingly people begin to regard government, if they're fearful of government, government has become the terrorists. For a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people are beginning to see that the principal terrorist in their life is not Al-Qaeda or Hamas, it's the federal government and its persistent attempts to diminish our rights. The other thing that strikes me is we have, as a result of the bombing in Boston, apparently, at least I won't say a result, but at least it's the next event. There's a sequence here. The bombing in Boston, instead of encouraging people to give up more rights, has apparently encouraged people to say, no, enough is enough. We're not giving up any more rights. That, for me, parallels what we've also seen in guns. Every time Obama gets up and advocates gun control, they sell another million guns. All right, and I don't know if it's a million, but certainly hundreds of thousands and rest, that sort of thing. Every time Obama says, we need to limit your rights on guns, people say, oh, no, we need to get more guns. The same thing has happened with the April plunge, where on the 12th and 15th of this month, the price of gold dropped $215 on the Friday and Monday combined, about $215 or thereabouts, $200 somewhere in that neighborhood. That April plunge was supposed to shatter people's confidence in gold, and instead what's happened, we've regained 60% of the loss in the following 2 weeks, and we're likely to regain 100% of the loss within a month after the April plunge of April 12th and 15th. And what I'm trying to illustrate is that in both the case of guns, government says, we got to get rid of your guns. And the people are saying, bunk, we're keeping them. And the government says, we're going to knock down the price of gold. The people say, no, you're not. We're going to maintain confidence. We'll have even more confidence in the price of gold. And now we have the government, who is constantly allegedly protecting us against terrorists, is being perceived to be a terrorist. And what I'm trying to illustrate is that in all three of these arenas, government is trying to make statements and cause certain results that favor government power. And in every instance, every time government is making the try, people are sitting back and saying, no, enough, enough, enough. They are drawing the line. I find that cause for celebration. I'll tell you another one. You talked about government wants to be here to serve and protect the people. The truth of the matter is the Supreme Court has ruled that the police, for example, have no obligation to protect the people. The Supreme Court, and there's a reason for that. It's because the police no longer actually work for, in my opinion, a lawful and de jure government. They're working for private corporations. And when you do, as an employee, this is true for everyone. If you're an employee, you have a fiduciary obligation to serve and protect your employer. Right now, the police are working for private corporations. They're working for municipalities. Their job is to serve and protect the municipality, the government. It is not to serve and protect the people. And while we're on that subject, just let me give you a couple other points, if I can think of them. One of them is that the Supreme Court's not only ruled that the government, that the police have no obligation to protect the people. Supreme Court has ruled that the police have the right and power to lie to us anytime they want. All right? When they're involved in an investigation, they ask you certain questions, make certain statements. They are entitled by law to lie to us, excuse me, to deceive us into making confessions or giving up information that we might not want to give up. And on top of that, if they start thumping you on the head, they can expect to enjoy official immunity or de facto officer immunity, meaning that they are above the law themselves. And what we have right now is a police state where the police are, one, above the law because they have official immunity, and two, are obligated to serve and protect their employer rather than the people of the country, and three, are entitled to lie to us whenever they want to achieve, in order to achieve whatever their objectives are in terms of investigations and so on. It does not inspire confidence among the American people for these three things to be true. In fact, inspires exactly what we see in the report you're talking about, where people increasingly fear the government, and rightly so. I really can't tell you how delighted I am to see that poll, because it tells us government's gone too far, people are aware of it, and there is a rising tide of resentment for big government. That's going to hopefully generate some wonderful results in the next election in 2014.
Benjamin Franklin, his quote, "They who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." And but hasn't the damage already been done, Al? I mean, haven't they already gone too far? So many of our freedoms and our liberties are already taken away through legislation, and very often this legislation will never be repealed, reversed, whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah,
it's already
repealed.
Done. So it's kind of like, well, the house is already flooded. So, you know, I guess and my other question is, people, do they really think that it has gone too far? Is it really for freedom or liberty, or do they see it more along the lines of money, of what they're willing to get in the future, or will their benefits be cut? Is that sort of related to maybe they think, well, you know, this is getting too big, you know, they might not be able to continue my benefits, or they might not be able to continue to do what I want them to do. Is there a overflow?
I don't see that myself.
Messages?
I don't see that people are fearing the government because they might not be able to get their benefits. They might be fearful that the supply of benefits is going to be shut down, but I think everyone understands who is dependent on government that government will not voluntarily abandon them. That's what's not to say that it won't, and it doesn't give a darn. It will abandon them if it suits government to do so. But it isn't government's intent right now to abandon people, in my opinion, and cut off their benefits. They may have to, but they won't do it because they just say, oh, let's cut off their benefits. I don't know if I'm making that very clear, but here is the other point I do want to make that I think I can make clearly. And you're speaking about, have they gone too far? Have they already passed so much legislation that we can't make a recovery? And the answer, in my opinion, is absolutely not. There's no legislation out there that cannot be rescinded, revoked, nullified, neutered. We can stop whatever Patriot Act. Want to get done with it? Vote it out. Can be done. You just have to put enough congressmen and senators in Washington, perhaps a president, who are in favor. Get rid of the damn Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act and stop leaning on the American people. Can it be done? Yes, and it can be done by means of legislation, but legislation is not the cause of our loss of liberty. Legislation, the real cause for our loss of freedoms and liberty and rights in this country, has been American ignorance. They've been able to take those rights and freedoms and liberties away from us because we have been ignorant and we have been trusting. We've trusted the government. We didn't know what was going on, and we, well, all right, if they say so, we'll go along with the program. But what we are learning today, what we're seeing today, for example, in that poll you referenced, where the more Americans fear the government than trust it right now, insofar as that poll is valid, it's telling us people are waking up. The government can no longer count on American ignorance to allow government to run roughshod over the Constitution. Instead, government is going to have to either do what the people want or flat out sit up and say, in your face, ladies and gentlemen, we're doing what we want, and the hell with all of you. Hell, of course, being my copyrighted word, as you may remember, Melody.
Yes,
but
I
in any case, we're getting past the ignorance phase. People are beginning to understand, and they are beginning to say, hey, this is wrong. And it follows, hopefully, that we are going to see a significant reversal in the near future. It doesn't mean that we're going back to where we were. I'm not saying we're going to have a complete revival. But I'm saying that perhaps we have seen we are close to the end of the growth of big government. We may be close to the end of a police state. If that's correct, if that's true, then hooray, you know? But we didn't lose our rights to legislation. We lost our rights to ignorance. We didn't know what our rights were. We're starting to learn that, and as we do, we're going to stand up and say, no, we're not going to go along with this. So cause for celebration, to my mind. What
All
else
right.
do we
well,
have, Molly?
Well, we're heading into break right now, so we'll be returning in just a few moments.
Okay.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Melody, do we have a special that we're going to – you talked a little bit about special at the beginning of the program.
Yes, we're going to continue Friday's special, Mint State 61, $20 gold pieces for $1,860, same price, even though gold is higher today. So I'm sure that beats any circulated $20 Liberty prices being offered out there. And, you know, we've always offered, if you hear of prices, we'll always try to match or beat our competitors' pricing. As long as it's a legitimate price, as long as, you know, we can keep going. This program funds a lot of broadcasts and something that so few of the competitors do. But, you know, everything really goes back into the programs and educating people on what is happening in our country and what they are losing, their liberties and their freedoms. So Mint State 61, $20 liberties, 1-800-375-4188, $1,860.
You know, when you mentioned the purpose of this program is substantially to educate people the problems that we're facing. I don't know why my voice is jamming up on me today, but it is for some reason, but apologize for that, but I can't hit the mute button because I don't have one on my telephone. I'm going to have to just deal with me trying to clear my throat from time to time, and I'm sorry about that, but there's nothing else we can do today. In any case, it is nice to see that people, we see evidence in the poll that suggests people are becoming more fearful of government. They are becoming more conscious of the rights that they are losing. They are becoming better educated. Well, that's consistent with programs like this one and others that are trying to get that message out to the American people, and we are having an effect. We are having a positive effect. It may not be, you know, as powerful, as massive, as instantaneous as we would like it to be, but nevertheless, we are having an effect. You know, people are less and less willing to give up their liberty, their freedom, their gold, their guns. Good thing. Hooray. Hooray for you. You know, is this a great country or what? It certainly was a great country, and I think it can be again. So, what else do we have, Melody?
Well, we have a caller on the line, Kenny from West Virginia. Are you there, Kenny?
Yes. Hello, Melody and Al. First, I'd like to say that your show and Frank Stephan's show at 11 p.m. are the best 2 hours on the entire network as far as I'm concerned. Folks, what I'd like to say is if these polls are legit, I feel somewhat helpful that, you know, the sheeple are waking up from their self-imposed coma. But something also tells me that their attention span is so short until the next basketball game that if they're not constant, persistent, and stubborn, they're just going to fall back down again. And I also think that there's so much money, our money, their time, and their technology that I don't think they're going to give in. I think they've invested too much.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you that the government, the powers that be, are not going to give in. But there are limits to their powers, and they are hugely empowered by our ignorance. And what we're seeing evidence of in this poll that we've talked about earlier on the program, we're seeing evidence that that ignorance is beginning to dissipate. You know, 43% of the people still agree with the government, but 47% say, no, I'm fearful. That fear is based on a measure of knowledge. That's a good sign to me. You know, it's not perfect. I don't believe that, you know, I don't believe these people are going to know everything, but they are now susceptible. They're willing to listen. They're willing to learn more. They want to learn more. You know, from the government's perspective, what do you suppose happens in a jury trial? If they understand that 47% of the jury is afraid of the government, you, under certain circumstances, if the government's going after certain individuals and certain people involved in a particular cause, and the government knows there's a good chance that half the people on the jury are afraid of the government, this has to inhibit the government. It doesn't mean battle's over. It doesn't even mean we're going to win. But it does mean we got a chance. It does mean that things are not hopeless and that the momentum, for the moment at least, is shifting in our favor. So, again, I'm saying hooray. You know, it's not a perfect solution. Yeah. This isn't over. Don't know it'll ever be over. But maybe we're winning a skirmish. Yeah. Go ahead, Kenny.
Persistence is the key, folks. That's it. God bless you, folks, for a great show. Keep up the good work.
Thanks very much, Kenny. Appreciate your compliments, and thanks for listening. What else do we have, Melody?
You know, Al, it's like, you know, you have that hope, you know, that people are waking up. You know, it takes one person at a time. And that's why, you know, for people who have the ability and the computers in order to copy and share and spread, I mean, that is so helpful.
Yeah.
But like Kenny, you know, you kind of think that, you know, people are so tied up in what they have. And how bad do a lot of people have it yet? We're going to be talking about what's happening in these cities across the country, and we'll use Detroit is you know, will be the main city that we talk about. People still have their cell phones. People still have their cable TVs. People still have 2-3 cars in their garage. People still eat McDonald's. People still go on vacations. They still watch they're still distracted. They're not really seeing what's happening in their backyard. And I hope that they truly are waking up. And, I mean, this poll is certainly a sign, and I hope it's just not a poll that shows good numbers because the folks were feeling better at that time.
Well, the way it works out, I was fat, dumb, and happy for most of my life. All right? I was as ignorant as anyone you could point to. But I went through a divorce in 1983, and I suffered.
Well, things weren't as bad though then either.
No, I get that. But what I'm trying to illustrate is this: people don't pay any attention until their ox gets gored. Right? If other people's oxes are being gored, nobody really cares. But when my ox got gored, that turned my lights on, and I began to see injustice for perhaps the first time in my life. Up until then, I've used the analogy for years. Up until then, it was as if the world was all just shades of gray. But after I went through that divorce and suffered what I thought was a great injustice, it was like somebody smacked me in between the eyes with a 2x4, and for the first time in my life, I could see in color. And all of a sudden, what had previously been just another shade of gray was now the bright red color of injustice, and I could see it. I couldn't avoid seeing it. It was there around me in places I'd walked right past it. I hadn't paid any attention. And what I'm trying to illustrate is we don't, as long as I'm making it, or you're making it, or anyone else is making it in society, again, by all right, they're not inclined to rock the boat. They're not inclined to criticize the boat. They're not inclined to pay much attention to where the boat is headed. But when the system begins to break down and it can't provide enough jobs in this country because it's sent jobs to foreign countries, and it can't provide enough jobs in this country because it's allowed illegal aliens to flood across our borders, and people who live here, and they used to count on and depend on employment and a certain standard of living, and they had an expectation that things would work out, all of a sudden their ox is being gored. And in the midst of that pain and that discomfort, people open their eyes and they begin to see, and they say, wait a second, this isn't right. And they're doing that for the first time maybe in their lives, where they're making they are seriously questioning the morality of the government. Is this right or wrong? Not just a question of power, but is it right or is it wrong? And I think people are beginning to do that. And as the economy stalls or declines, more and more people are going to open their eyes and they're going to see, is this right or is this wrong? And those are the people we're beginning to hear about now. So all I'm trying to say is people don't pay any attention to the injustice until it hits them. Normally, there may be exceptions to that rule, but generally speaking, we don't care about injustice unless it's perpetrated against us. Once that happens, now we are motivated, and increasingly people see that.
So do you think with them being wiped out financially, do you think that'll motivate them?
Sure it will. It makes them angry, it makes them alert, it makes them aware, it also makes them susceptible to anybody who can come up and offer any kind of hope to them. They become vulnerable under these circumstances. They start to look, and they're paying attention, but they're also looking for someone to save them, it's unfortunate they are not going to be content with just finding knowledge for themselves. They're going to also be susceptible to somebody comes in and promises a chicken in every pot. And everybody's, yay, yay, a chicken! So it's a mixed blessing. It's not a sure thing, but it's not a curse. We have as much hope of recruiting these people who are now in a certain amount of peril as the government does. Because where's the government going to get enough chickens? They're going to be the god that failed here before long. People are going to begin to realize you can't count on the government. Then what? Then maybe you got to find somebody else you count on, or better yet, you have to learn to count on yourself. You have to learn to become independent and not rely on other people to tell you what to do and rely on other people to provide you with your employment, your sustenance, and it'll be a chaotic period. It'll be challenging and volatile, and it won't necessarily be fun, but it'll be a good thing.
We have a caller, but first, here's a comment. The problem with this movement has long been people wait until they are penniless and ruined before they want to do something. Then it is nearly impossible or at the least ineffective.
Yeah, I agree. That's part of the problem, but I'll read you something that says, here's, let's see, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. That is text from the Declaration of Independence. They understood over 200 years ago, they understood it clearly, that mankind will put up with an enormous amount of crapola and even injustice before they finally stand up on their hind legs and say, enough of this stuff. It was recognized then, it was true then, it's true now, it's human nature, and it goes to the idea that people will dilly-dally around and they will wait until they're completely penniless before they finally act. And it's unfortunate that human beings are built that way, but it does appear to be a fundamental flaw in our nature. We should stand up sooner. We shouldn't wait so long. If we would be a little more aggressive early on, we might not get into so much trouble. But nevertheless, again, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable. Human nature, deal with it. Right? But they does just because they are predisposed to suffer for a while doesn't mean they're predisposed to suffer forever. And again, that poll at the beginning of the program, 47% of the people are saying the government is scarier than the other terrorists, is the scariest terrorist around, essentially. That's evidence that we are hitting, we are approaching that moment when some people are saying, enough of this suffering. We're going to put an end to it one way or another. We don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to figure it out. I say hooray.
Well, he goes on, and this is actually... Frank that's saying this. That's true. However, rich men wrote that document. Where are the rich men to stand up today? Do rich men understand the...
Well, at the time, we have a different kind of rich people today. And it goes to a system that's ultimately based on a lie. And the lie is fiat currency. Right now, the wealthy people in the world... for the most part, have achieved their spectacular wealth by being better hustlers and con artists than the average people. They've done it. They understand the fiat monetary system. They understand how to play with that lie, how to exploit that lie in a way where they can extract the wealth of people who actually work for a living. When we had gold and silver for a monetary base, tied us to an objective reality that couldn't be based on lies. You had to deal with the truth of the matter. Either you did build a good automobile and you could sell it for gold or silver, or you did not build a good automobile. You built a good house and people bought it because it was high quality. They didn't buy it or sell it because the bank was encouraging liar loans, because they've devised a system where if you'll sign your name on the mortgage, they can sell the mortgage to somebody else who can use it as a basis to loan out 10 times the value of the mortgage to other people. The whole existing system has become fraudulent, and the people who do the best and become wealthiest in that system are generally the people who do not, they're not concerned with the fraud. They've learned how to play the game. They don't care if it's fraudulent. They're coming out ahead. We have a different class of wealthy people today than the wealthy people who were involved in the Declaration of Independence. Those people were involved. They had real money. They had solid, objective values. And a lot of people think, you know, me trying to tie real money to solid, objective values. A lot of people think that's a tenuous connection, think I'm just shooting the breeze. I'm not. This is important. When you can't spin money out of thin air and you actually have to work for it, it changes your value system. It changes the way you think. When you can spin money out of thin air, or you can get close to people who can spin it out of thin air, it's an entirely different system. It's a way of exploiting people rather than earning, working, earning, making a productive effort. And two different classes of people. But as this fiat monetary system wanes, we're going to see a resurgence and a revalue. A revaluation, I don't even think that's a proper term, but we're going to see more respect for the people who actually make productive contributions and less for the people who just sit around and say, gimme, gimme, gimme. I think we're headed in that direction. And I don't pretend it's going to be a painless transition, but I believe we're headed in that direction. And again, two different systems of money. It changes the world. It's not just what you count. It goes to values. I believe I can hear the music in the background, which means it's time to take a break. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
I'm Alfred Addis here at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. We've got two callers waiting. Who shall we take first, Melody?
Well, Jim's been waiting the longest from West Virginia. Then we'll get to Joseph from Georgia.
Okay.
Get it. Hi, Jim. How are you doing today?
Oh, wonderful. Thanks to you fellers. But there's another part of the aha experience which occurs when you have enough pieces of the puzzle fall into place. My parents shoved me down the rabbit hole like you've heard before when I was a teenager. I didn't want to hear it. I knew about the Federal Reserve and false flags, and I knew that the schools lied and the media lied and the left-right paradigm, but I was bitter and angry, but I just thought everything was a money scam. All the pieces of the puzzle just fell into place in the mid-70s. I ran into three books. One was a history of European banking yawn. The other explained how they gained control of a country, the colonies, went back a number of years, and how they maintained control through regime changes. They would have a situation where the natives would get restless after they got ripped off, so then the banksters would find and fund a man of the people who would overthrow this carefully orchestrated regime change revolution. Revolution means here we go around again. Third, had to do what? It was an underground pamphlet, and apparently written by somebody who had connections deep within the Bilderberg group of what they had planned by the year 2000. But everything, you cannot deny that everything clicks, that aha moment, when there's so much evidence that's going on now. Now, back in the late 60s, early 70s, there wasn't, and things were going well, and people would say, well, it's worked pretty good so far. But when you have everything smacking you in the face right now, you can't help but have a lot of that aha moment when people realize it. Now, as it was explained to me by my parents, and I'm going to get off the air, government is nothing more than protection racket. My dad said, you know, what's the difference between some mobster coming up to you and say, hey, you pay us money or something bad might happen to your fish market, and somebody from the government saying, hey, you better pay us money or something bad's going to happen to you. The only difference is the uniform the guys wear. And just when you realize that two-thirds of every dollar you spend goes to pay for governments at all levels, they're hidden in the taxes, hidden in the price of taxes, you will wake up. Thank you, folks.
All right, Jim. Well, thank you. I agree. It's part of the thing. It's part of the awakening that's taking place. And the awakening, two points to it, in a sense. One, you begin to realize some truth that you hadn't picked up on before. Government's taking at least two-thirds of your income right now. Local, state, federal hidden taxes are consuming about two-thirds of your income. You're getting to keep $1 out of every three that you actually work for. And it may not be that much. It may not even be that much.
Well, here's the thing which so many people miss, particularly the poor, and I'm amongst them, believe me. Every time you go buy something or another, if you buy $30,000, this is, I could never buy, I mean, I never even think about it. But if you buy something or another, two-thirds of that goes to buy government. My example, time after time, a $30,000 American-made car, you just bought $20,000 of taxes. The guy who is worried about whether he's going to heat or eat, and we depend on wood for our heat, it pays most dearly. But he's got to realize he is in the two-thirds tax bracket. Every time he buys a loaf of bread, two-thirds of that. That's hard to believe. And I had one fellow back in the early 70s. He said, and you know, I ran into him about 5 years ago. He said, Jimmy, you're the reason I'm a Republican now. I said, oh, I'm sorry. He said, yeah, I turned from a liberal into a conservative when you said there's no business in history has ever paid taxes. Only their customers pay taxes. And every business tax to tax the rich, you know what, on the hill, ends up being paid by everybody down below. So that's the one revelation. There's so many people here who think of government as being a source of good things for whatever reasons.
But government is a great, it has some of the best PR in the world. They have managed to bamboozle the American people. And how have they managed to deceive us, though? And where I'm going with that is this. We've lost sight of fundamental principles found in our Constitution and founding documents. We've been persuaded to forget that, forget the idea of limited government. We've accepted unlimited government, and in the process, we've accepted unlimited taxes. And people don't even recognize. You know, there have been reports that something like almost half the people in the country, over 40%, I don't remember the exact number, aren't paying income taxes right now. Now, they probably think they're getting over. But how much are they getting over if two-thirds of the price of the next motorcycle they buy is taxes?
Bingo.
None of us are beating taxes. None of us are beating taxes.
Okay.
We're all being taxed.
Now, what it boils down to very simply is if you become aware of all this, you suddenly realize that your biggest enemy is government. Too much government. Now, it's a necessary evil. The one thing I can tell anybody coming and going about all this stuff is you've got to understand the government will stand up and they'll say, we built the schools for you. No, we built them with our tax dollars. Oh, we built roads. No, we built them. Oh, we built utilities. Well, we built the utilities. Oh, no, we built them with our tax dollars. We'll take God out of it. So government doesn't build anything. It only manages and does a very poor job of it. Now, once that aha moment clicks about all this stuff, and when you suddenly realize that most of the evil in the world, the wars, everything else has been created by these people, which is what I finally figured out in the middle 70s, then you will stand up and resist them en masse. I can't thank you enough for your program. I know I get on here and my motor mouth takes off, but I love you guys. Okay?
All righty. Thanks, Jim. We appreciate
it. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate your feedback. Appreciate your comments. And we appreciate you listening to the program. Who else do we have to deal with right now? We've got someone else calling in. Who is it?
Yeah, we have Joseph, if he's still there, from Georgia. Are you there, Joseph? Hello.
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right.
What do you got for us, Joe?
Well, you know, okay, say they want to go to a gold-backed currency. You know, then I remember seeing it in a magazine, and I've seen it on DW News one time, that German news. about how much gold they think has been mined over history, you know, and then that, well, they're producing now, and then how much people is holding, whether they're private owners or these central banks or, and, okay, so if you go to a gold-backed currency, just how much is actually there and being produced where they can actually base currencies on it, because there's only so much of it, so wouldn't it be like a fractional gold standard? Just like
it's hard to say
banking
what
they can loan out 10 or 20 bucks in every dollar of deposits they got.
I'd say that they will always want to do fractional reserve banking. They want it, but it's essentially a lie. They're loaning money they don't actually have. That's the fundamental lie, and to my mind, it distorts the economy, it distorts the value, the system of values of the American people. When something as fundamental as the banking system is based on lies, the balance of the economy, those lies become invisible. And most people think about, oh, ha, 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 they would dispute that there were any significant lies out there. I am inclined to believe that those lies are significant. I think they weigh on us, and they will ultimately take us down. Now, one other point, though, is you are at least, I think, listening to your question, you are at least implying that we couldn't go back to a gold standard because there's not enough gold in existence. Is that part of what you were saying?
Yeah, you know.
But here's the point.
There's plenty of gold.
There's plenty of gold, Joe. All the gold you need at a particular price. All right? There's not enough gold at $20 an ounce. I guarantee that. There's not enough gold to back our monetary system at 20 bucks an ounce, but there's plenty of gold at $50,000 an ounce.
Yeah. Huh? Right. So
okay? It depends
gold,
on the price that you relate to that gold. You know, if you're going to have that paper currency, but it's going to be backed by gold, we can back all the paper you can print, right? It just depends on what price you affix to the gold. You could break it down to where, you know, practically molecules of gold could be encased. One molecule of gold in a little plastic case, and the molecule might be worth, you know, I'm just exaggerating here. I'm not saying this would happen. But I'm making this exaggeration to kind of illustrate a point. You got one molecule of gold, this little plastic container, and it's guaranteed there's a molecule of gold. What if you price that molecule of gold at 500 bucks a molecule? There's plenty of gold depending on the price that you attach to it. All right? That's the reality of this. And the fundamental point to this is that as long as it's based on gold, and gold is tangible, and it ties to objective reality, then somebody's got to work for it. You can't just make the gold by taking a pen and writing your name, signing your name on the bottom of a piece of paper. You can't spin gold, not even molecules. You can't spin gold out of thin air. That ties us back to objective reality. It ties us back to truth. And from my perspective, it makes a powerful contribution to keeping the nation running straight ahead on the rails toward a good destination. That's my opinion on it. Does that make any sense to you, Joe?
Yeah, that makes plenty of sense. Watching the news and he's talking about Detroit, I just got a Radio Liberty letter and a catalog, and they was talking about the situation in the cities, too. And it's not going to get any better. People keep their eyes and ears open and try to make some kind of preparation, because I'm convinced they're going to pull something eventually to go to martial law if they can get away with it. So
yeah, if they can get away with it. But again, how's it working? Every time Obama tries to cut the supply of guns, people buy more guns. And they tried to diminish confidence in gold, and people bought more gold. Globally, they bought more gold. There's a wave of it. You can't get silver for 6 weeks, at least in some instances, in some forms. 6 weeks, something like that, 4 to 6 weeks to take delivery. All of this is backfiring on these people. Got that poll. More people are afraid of government than people that support government. They are increasingly fearful. Can government pull off a major event right now and guarantee that the public is going to react the way the government wants them to react, or will the government try it and the public will say, you guys are lying to us again, we're not going to buy your crap? What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, that could be, but still, it don't hurt to try to make what preparations you can.
I agree with you.
You're going to be better off.
Oh, I agree.
That's not right in the middle of a city somewhere.
Yeah.
I think they're going to fare better if any real hard times hit.
Well, we'll watch and see, but for what it's worth, I'm in the process of building a cabin up on a creek in an area where the population density is 2 people per square mile. You understand?
Yeah.
I will not be in the big city. If the stuff hits the fan, don't look for me in the big city because I won't be there.
Yeah, in the Mount North Carolina in the 60s, I would go to visit my great aunt. We'd stay with her, and that house had electricity, no running water. It had a spring house in the back and a wood cook stove and a coal burning, like for hard coal for heating in the wintertime.
I understand.
So you can do without electric, but if you got a good coal spring and a couple of wood stoves, you'll be way ahead.
I understand.
We appreciate
possible,
it, Joe.
You know, here's the problem. Here's one of the things about it, Joe. Not everybody's going to be able to find a good spring house. They're not going to all be able to heat with coal. Our population density is different, and not everybody can vacate the big cities. There's going to be trouble.
That's it.
All right. Not everyone.
Get away from them as far as you can.
Yeah, but a lot of people won't be able to. They're going to have to learn to survive even under difficult circumstances. All right, Joe, we want to thank you for your call. We want to thank you for listening to the program. Look forward to hearing from you again at a future date, but we are getting close to the end of the program. So thank you, Joe.
Well, y'all have a good one.
Thank you,
too.
Joseph.
All right, Melody, what do we got? About 90 seconds, something like that? Listen to that. 75 seconds.
You talk about these larger cities, and even this weekend, Virginia Beach, you had violence breaking out across several blocks near their ocean front Saturday and Sunday, and it really doesn't say what created it. There was some robberies, there was some shootings, and they just got out of control. And
I
doesn't
understand.
Really
put people under enough stress, they will get out of control. I don't know. I'm looking at my clock, so I don't know for a fact. Where are we, Melody, for time?
Well, we'll hear the music when we're done. So,
all right,
Frank will let us know. So
we're just about out of time.
But
all right. In any case, we are just about out, and because I can't, I'm not on the computer and so on. Blah blah blah. I'm not watching the time. But I want to tell all of you, I'm Alfred Attisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. The program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. We want to thank all of you for listening. I'll be back with Roger Sales tomorrow. I'll be back with Melody on Wednesday. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Thank you, folks.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.